in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today.
And I'm with, again, Father Matt, and we're going to be proclaiming the Word of God. He is worthy of our praise. He has been raised from the dead. Glory to God in the highest. I'm reading from the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. You can see they're still Jewish. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple, called Beautiful Gate. That was his place where he was begging for food or begging for money every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leaped up, stood and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. Isn't it wonderful? When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. The word of the Lord. I say, this experience of the healing of the cripples is going to get the apostles into trouble. It's like Lazarus for Jesus, got Jesus into trouble. And they're going to persecute the apostles. But this man knows that he was touched and he didn't receive money, but he received from the Lord the ability to walk and jump and praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I've seen people who come in hobbling and leave without hobble, leave without their cane. I've seen people, probably not as bad as this man, you know, as beggars, but Jesus heals the sick and makes them strong. This is still part of our faith, that Jesus heals the sick and makes them strong. And he wants to heal you and make you strong. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because he died for you. Why? Because he's been raised from the dead. He wants to do something for you today that you cannot do for yourself. Isn't that wonderful? He wants to do something for you today that you cannot do for yourself.
I love these Easter readings during the octave and during the Easter season, and particularly how we hear about the early church and how the faith grew from the time of Pentecost onward, and how the apostles and the disciples lived from the overflow. They lived from the overflow of the Holy Spirit. They were in the overflow. I think so often, myself included, we don't find ourselves working from the overflow. We find ourselves working from the reserves, if you will. And so what do I mean by this? Is that like the Lord's desire is that every day we would come to him, the fountain of life itself, and be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, be filled to overflowing with the power of God, with the divine life. And that as we go forward in our day as witnesses, as believers, and bearing witness to Jesus, that comes from the overflow, not from the reserves. You know what I'm saying? Like, so as we continue, like, and worship is such an important part of this. Like, the more that we take time to worship God, right, and we offer him our lives, like, what is worship, right? Isn't worship really the surrendering of our lives, body, mind, heart, and soul, as a sacrifice of praise to the Father? Isn't that really what worship is all about? It's about a sacrifice. On the cross, Jesus offered the perfect worship, right? He offered his life as a sacrifice of praise to the Father for our salvation. So that's really what worship is. So every time we pray, right, we're invited to make an offering of our lives to the Father through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, right? Even our work can be an offering of praise. So, but worship, we have to take... The Catechism says that, like, you know, in order for all of our moments of prayer to really take effect and be very fruitful, throughout our day, we have to have very specific times and moments of prayer where we enter into the heart of the Father. And so that aspect of worship, so it is from worship that we get into the, we get filled and we are in the overflow. You know, and our perspective is different. Our perspective is not from earth to heaven, but from heaven to earth. We walk from a sense of dignity as beloved children of the Father who have been equipped to be light in the world. And so we see in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter and John, they are in the overflow of the Holy Spirit. And it is in the overflow of the Holy Spirit that they, that signs, wonders, and miracles take place and that the apostolic witness is able to take place. Father, I'm reminded of that story. I don't know if you want to tell it now, but the story when you were driving in your car and you were worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Spirit just brought you down a street that you didn't know you were going to go on, and there was a woman and a husband. I'm going to give you that back.
Yeah, this happened a long time ago. I was looking for a certain address, and I was on the street, and I couldn't find it, and I couldn't find the house. And I was going around in circles because it's a circular street. And I saw a man sitting on the stoop, and he was drinking a beer. So I decided to ask him, how do I get to number whatever it was at that time? And he said, go into the house and ask my wife. And I said, what a stupid thing to say. But so what I did, I went into the house and asked his wife. And anyway, what happened is that she's holding a baby with red hair. I'll never forget it. And she starts screaming, what are you here for? What are you here for? I'm looking for a certain number on your street. She says, no, what are you here for? You see this child? This child, you know, I want to adopt him, but the mother is a drug addict. And what's happened is that she might take him back. I said, you listen, the man of God came to your house today, not looking for you. I wasn't looking for you, and you weren't looking for me. But it's no accident that I'm here, and I tell you, this baby is yours. Listen to me, and I want to baptize the child when you get him. And I did. Just about 2 years ago, we were in a restaurant, and who comes up to me but the lady? And she comes up to me with her son and says, he's going off to college today. So we started praying over the young boy who was going off to college. I tell you, in the power of the Spirit, things happen that you cannot make happen. It's like the beautiful acts of God. In the power of the Holy Spirit, these things, but they don't happen to everybody. They happen to those that are open for them to be happening.
So this is just the reality of when we're in the overflow, and we're just, you know, it's a heavenly perspective, and we're walking with the Lord in the flow of the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you something, like, it is so hard to stay in the overflow. I mean, you can begin and have a wonderful time of prayer in the morning, and then you begin your day, and all of a sudden you get whacked from east, west, north, and south, and all of a sudden you fall back into earthly thinking. You kind of get thrown off of the overflow, if you will. And then, you know, then we start using human logic and human rationale, right? And we start to take things into our own control, into our own power. And then we don't see God work, we see man work. We see ourselves work. And so it's so, you know, if you think about it, right, the Liturgy of the Hours, just to kind of name that, right? So the priests and the sisters make a promise to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. When they enter into their solemn vows, and priests, when they're ordained deacons, they, before being made priests, they make promise to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And the priest promises to break it 5 different points in the day to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And, you know, there's psalms, there's readings, there's intercessory prayers, there's reflections. And the whole idea is it's about sanctifying different points of the day, morning and daytime and evening and night, and then one other period of the day. And it's about sanctifying those moments. And really, what's that about? In the wisdom of the church, right, Jesus says we should pray without ceasing. Or I think it's St. Paul. We should pray without ceasing, right? And so in the Liturgy of the Hours, we have those very specific moments where we're sanctifying that point. And what is that really about? It's about getting back into the overflow, right? It's about praying for everyone that we just encountered up to that moment, praying for those that we will encounter, and then being in touch with heaven. be in touch with the Lord as a sacrifice of praise so we can continue on in the overflow. So don't be surprised as you leave from your houses in the morning, you're in the overflow, but then all of a sudden you get thrown off track. That's going to be normal. That's the reality of life. But at that moment, until you get to heaven, I suppose, but at that moment or in those moments, okay, it's time to get connected back with heaven. Start singing a hymn. Take a moment to pray and worship the Lord and ask the Father to send forth the Holy Spirit so that we can live out of this identity of our status as beloved children of the Father.
This overflow experience is wonderful because things begin to happen. I'll never forget the time I was in Walmart. I call it Walmart Cathedral. And there was this woman speaking, and we were looking at the toilet paper aisle. And I spoke to Tamru, and I said, we need toilet paper. And she said, are you Father Tom? I said, I am. She said, my nephew has cancer. I said, well, you know what? You can bring him to the church on Saturday, and after the 5:30 Mass, we'll pray for him. That's how we started praying for people after the 5:30 Mass, and we've done it every single week, not on Holy Saturday because we're out of the church at 11 o'clock. But you see, these things happen if you want them to happen, and they command your giving of yourself to do something in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Things just don't happen. Our church for Easter is so beautiful. And I said to the people, this just did not happen. This did not happen. These people who gave themselves and took their time and did things to clean the church, and not only to clean the church, but to put up the flowers and to put up the curtains. Things just don't happen. They happen through vessels that are able to give themselves to God. Things just don't happen. That's real. That's real. They happen when we say, Lord, I'm yours today. I ask you to use me the way you want to use me. Use me the way you want to use me. I want to be sold out to Jesus. I want to be sold not only during Easter, every day. I want to be sold out to Jesus.
Going back to this scripture from Acts, we're reading Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And in verse 3, right, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, look at us. So clearly the man had his eyes on Peter and John, and then he's already taken his eyes off of them, and he's looking at the next person because he's holding out his probably his pot looking for money or to be thrown into, but he's already looking for the next guy, right? So Peter says, look at us, right? He commands the man to make eye contact with him. And isn't this something beautiful about human dignity here, right? About looking people in the eyes. Haven't we lost that today in our technologically driven society? You know, how many times are we just buried in our phones, myself included, and we don't look people in the eyes anymore? We don't know how to greet people. We don't know how to have conversations with people. I mean, it's not, especially our young people, right? We've lost the sense of intimacy. How many people, when you shake their hand, look you in the eyes, right? So it's very, very disconcerting. It's not human, right? So look at us. So he directs his gaze. So there's a reality here of dignity, right? They're looking each other in the eyes. He's acknowledging his dignity, right? And then he says, and then the man fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. So he thinks he's going to get money. Now, here's the thing, the difference between human thinking and heavenly thinking, right? Humanly thinking, Peter and John, as they're going to the temple to worship, they've got their game plan, right? They're going to the temple to worship God. They don't have a plan of doing a healing service. In fact, they probably haven't done a healing service, maybe on the day of Pentecost, but they hadn't fully gotten into this stuff yet, right? They're new Christians, right? They're newly made Christians, and they're making their way to the temple. Earthly thinking would have said, hey, we don't have any money. Sorry, buddy, we can't help you, but we'll carry you to the temple. You want to come pray with us? Right? You want to come? And that would have been a beautiful thing, right? You want to come pray with us? That's a beautiful thing. We can't give you any money, right? That would have been a beautiful thing, maybe an inspired thing. However, it still would have been an earthly way of thinking because God had something even greater in store, and obviously the men were open to that. They recognized that the response and the answer that this man needed was not a human way, a human response like this guy needs money, but rather a heavenly response. In this case, God wants to do something. God wants to perform a miracle for this man. And as you heard Father Tom say, this would then open the door to persecution for these and the apostles, right? So their response was not, they heard one thing, I need money, but they responded and they thought in a different way. He needs Jesus. He needs the power of God. And that's where being in the overflow really takes effect because, you know, so often in our day, people are asking us very human questions, right? Obviously, right? And especially when you work in the life of the church. And our temptation can always be to respond in a very human, logical way. But in reality, if we're prayed up and in the overflow, our response is going to be a heavenly response. Just think of tithing, right? Just think of tithing. So often we embark on capital campaigns and, increased giving programs and things like that. And, you know, those all have their time and place. I'm not knocking them. But let's press it deeper. We have to teach our people how to live on God's providence, right? How to live by faith. And living by faith also means not only your time and your talents, but also your treasure. It's about teaching people how to live by faith and to trust on God's providence. That's a heavenly way of thinking. It takes a long time and a conversion of heart to get there, to live by faith, especially with your pocketbook. But when you do, you actually see that God provides for his people, and miracles start to happen forth. And this all comes from being invited into the overflow.
Into the overflow. We need the overflow. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, wonderful Spirit of Jesus, that we would overflow with praise, that we would overflow with thanksgiving, that we would overflow with miracles. You see, miracles should be happening in every church, Catholic and Protestant and Orthodox, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He shed his blood for us. He was buried and rose from the dead. Every single day there should be miracles. Why? Because of Jesus. He promised that we would do greater things than he. That's amazing. Greater things than Jesus. How can I do greater things than Jesus? In other words, you've got to start doing the same things Jesus did before you start doing the greater things. But you see, as you're open to the Holy Spirit, as you're open to God the Father, as you're open to Jesus Christ the Lord, things begin to happen. You know, I have somebody calling me from Rome, and I think, you know, she's in the Vatican. She works in the Vatican. I'm thinking, gosh, there's so many priests there. She's going to call me in Rome. I'm delighted. I'm delighted to pray for her daughter who had cancer. And when we prayed, when she went again, the cancer was gone. I'm delighted that she chose me, that I become the person that Jesus wants to use. I'm delighted. But that is the job of every person, not only every priest, but every person. And people don't know that. They don't know that their vocation is to stretch out their hand and do something for the Lord. Are you doing something for the Lord? You say that I'm homebound. Well, you can pray. And if you don't know how to pray, you ask the Lord, teach me to pray. And start praying for me. You know, if you've got nothing to do but pray, pray for me that God would use me to touch more people. Pray for me. I need your prayers. I don't know if I could do this work without the people's prayers. I don't think I could. So pray for me.
And, you know, as we hear these words today, maybe we're challenged by them, maybe we're humbled by them, and you say, like, well, that's for Father Tom. I don't think I could ever do that. That's not my thing or whatever. Well, I think it's just to know first and foremost that, you know, as believers of Jesus, as disciples, that it's not meant to be for ourselves, but wherever we're planted, that's where we're supposed to grow. Wherever we're planted, that's where we're supposed to grow. And so wherever we're growing, hopefully it's good fruit, right, that people are seeing a witness, that people are seeing our witness. I once heard a Protestant minister say, you know, I want to be so filled with Jesus that when I am squeezed, Jesus comes out. Think of like toothpaste, right? You squeeze the tube, and toothpaste comes out, right? So like when I'm squeezed, when I'm in difficulty, in anger, when I'm hurt, bitter, when I'm frustrated, when I'm crossed, when I've been persecuted, made fun of, accused, when things don't go my way, when I lose my job, when someone cuts me off, when I hit my head on something accidentally or shut a door on my finger, what comes out? Does Jesus come out? When I'm squeezed, what comes out? What comes out? And so, you know, it's supposed to be Jesus, right? And so this is the invitation to conversion. You know, this is the invitation of being conformed to Christ. As St. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and the life I live is not my own. Christ lives in me. This is a mystical insight that he has received, understanding what baptism does, that we've died with Christ and we've risen with him, and that he lives in us. Bishop Barron talks often about the ego drama versus the theo drama, and he says the ego drama, you know, well, think of like when you go to a show, right? You have a director, well, that's you. You have a producer, and that's you. You have a screenwriter, and that's you too. Oh, and guess what? You're starring in it. That's the ego drama. It's all about you or all about me. It's driven by my ego. As opposed to the theo drama, which God is the producer. He is the writer, the director, and we allow him to live his life in us. The ego drama versus the theo drama. It's so hard to die to ourselves at times. It can be so difficult. That's why worship is so important. That's why praying throughout the day is so important, to get into the overflow so that we can have a heavenly perspective and allow the Lord to live his life in us.
Father Matt was sharing with me that he was listening to a preacher, and he says, God didn't just call us to go to heaven. He calls us that heaven would flood us. You know, it's all about heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we have not even tapped that experience of the Our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God wants. Heaven to fill us. Heaven to direct us. You see, we know a lot about the earth, but we know so little about heaven. But yet heaven is what makes things work. And Jesus Christ sends his Spirit from heaven so that we might be able to be the effective sons and daughters on the planet called Earth.
Amen. And you know, I find that fasting is a very important part of the spiritual life that keeps us yearning for heaven. I just rediscovered that during Lent. I'm very happy not to be fasting this week, I'll be honest with you. But fasting, you know, Wednesdays and Fridays, eating bread and water, or, you know, it's between you and the Lord what you want to give up and how you want to do that. I'll be honest, I have black coffee. But that fasting really challenges me to die to myself. It really opens me up now as I deny certain things that I get the great delight in. It opens me up to the Spirit and keeps me from living on comfort. You know, we can get so comfortable, and this affects our Christian witness, right? We get so comfortable with our life. We get so comfortable, and because we get comfortable, it becomes even more difficult to step out in faith to bear witness. But fasting keeps us spiritually uncomfortable, keeps us hungry for the things of God, and empowers us to go out and be bold witnesses to Christ. So once we get really into the Easter season, consider fasting. That will be something that really empowers you to the overflow into a heavenly perspective where you can allow the Lord to live his life in you.
Most of us, the only thing we know about fasting is that we eat fast rather than fasting. And I remember years ago, we started to fast on Divine Mercy Sunday, and we did it for 40 days. I remember how God worked during those 40 days when we were fasting. Fasting and prayer go together. We just don't fast. Fasting and prayer go together. So I call upon the name of Jesus to bless these people today. I call upon the name of Jesus to give them strength. I call upon the name of Jesus to heal their eyes and to heal their backs and to heal their knees and to heal their spine. I call upon the name of Jesus to heal their hips. In the name of Jesus, as Peter and John said, silver and gold we have not, but what we have we give you. In the holy name of Jesus of Nazareth, be healed. Be healed now, because God loves you so much. May God richly bless you during this day. Seek the Lord while he may be found. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.